There's a name for people like you. Trade King. Switch today.
He may be the most influential man in San Francisco. Marc Benioff, founder of Salesforce, has transformed the way businesses do business. He's pioneered the flight to the cloud and a new model for philanthropy along the way. He launched his career at Apple under Steve Jobs, became a star salesman at Oracle under Larry Ellison, then went on to start what's now one of Oracle's biggest competitors. Joining me today on this special edition of Studio 1.0 from Dreamforce 2014, Salesforce CEO and Chairman Marc Benioff.
Always great to be with you.
So great to be here at Dreamforce, the largest software conference in the world. How many people are here today?
We have more than 145,000 registered to attend physically, and there's more than 5 million who are going to attend online. In fact, 3 million have already attended online, so it could be even bigger than that.
Now, I'll never forget the first time I saw your Dreamforce keynote. It was like seeing Moses part the Red Sea. You are a force up there. How much practice goes into that?
This year, I have not been on tour, so it was a brand new show, and so I actually had to practice it quite a bit.
You announced Wave, a cloud-based analytics platform. What does this give your customers that they didn't have before?
Analytics is just a category that's just rich for innovation. A lot of companies in our industry have kind of sat on their kind of kingdoms too long and kind of kept the status quo going. There's a long list of those companies and a long list of those CEOs, and one of those areas is analytics. It's a completely new way to think about analytics and mobile visualization, and it's really analytics for the rest of us.
There are myths about the greatest founders that are boiled down into legend. What is the myth of Marc Benioff, and what is the reality?
The reality is getting to this point in your career is a lot of hard work over a long period of time. The fundamental reality of our industry is that people are always overestimating what you can do in a year, and they underestimate what you can do in a decade. And in our industry, if you work hard and focused and have a clear vision, you can have a phenomenal outcome. And that's what we're doing here at Salesforce.
You started your first company when you were 15.
I did.
Then you went to Apple. You worked under Steve Jobs.
I did.
What was the single most important thing you learned from him?
Passion. Steve Jobs was one of the greatest, most passionate people I ever met. And I still remember in 1984, I was programming assembly language, which is kind of the language at the core of the microprocessor down at Apple headquarters, and we were writing the first software that did assembly language on the Macintosh. Well, Steve Jobs came storming down the halls, motivating the developers. His energy was infectious, and everybody wanted to work as hard as they could because he was there and he was working so hard. And I learned that. I learned that you have to be all in, and that's something I try to bring to Salesforce too.
How confident are you in the future of Apple under Tim Cook?
I think that Tim is doing a great job. We've seen some great new products this month with the new iPhones. I have one in my pocket right now. I have a 6 Plus I'm really enjoying. And Apple's a great company. I mean, I think it's the greatest story in American business. And look, Steve was the greatest of the greatest. We all know that. And so being the follow-on is going to be tough no matter what. I think just that point makes Tim a success.
Steve Jobs and Larry Ellison were great personal friends, but I wonder, how were they different as bosses?
Oh, both are actually phenomenal visionaries. You know, both are able to really have a feeling for where the industry is going and work hard with their teams to create that reality. I think that where they're a little bit different is, Larry was maybe a little bit more of a kind of a suit and tie kind of person. Steve was always in his jeans and black turtleneck, and their aesthetics were a little different. Their styles were remarkably the same. You know, I think that's why they got along so well together.
In what way?
Well, it gets back to that passion. Mm-hmm. You know, they were very passionate, dedicated, focused people. And the number one issue for both of them, their business. Nothing was more important to Steve than Apple. Nothing is more important to Larry than Oracle. There's a message in that. If you want to put everything above everything else, you're going to achieve that. Whatever you focus on, you're going to get. And for both of those executives, the number one thing in their life was their work. We all know Larry Ellison is a force of nature. And what Larry Ellison wants, Larry Ellison is going to get.
There's a difference when you trade with Fidelity. One you won't find anywhere else. 1 second trade execution. Guaranteed. Did you see it? In 1 second, he made a trade, we looked for the best price, and the trade went through. Do the other guys guarantee that? Didn't think so. Open an account and find more of the expertise you need to be a better investor.
Yeah, I'm married. Doesn't matter. You do that for me? Really? Yeah, I'd like that.
Who are you talking to?
It's Jake from State Farm. Sounds like a really good deal.
Jake from State Farm at 3 in the morning? Who is this?
It's Jake from State Farm.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Khakis.
She sounds hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so...
Another reason more people stay with State Farm. Get to a better state.
From fashion retailers to healthcare providers, jewelers to sporting goods stores, we provide financing solutions for all sorts of businesses. Banking, loyalty, analytics. Synchrony Financial. Engage with us.
Partnerships occur when both share a passion for improving, for growing in harmony. Speak from the heart and respect the other. Feeling of being comfortable, of being open, that creates the true partnership, which ensures the greatest success. Together, invest in remarkable Indonesia.
Yeah, girl, you know, I've been thinking about us, and I just can't fight it anymore.
That's how a home and auto bundle is made. Better he learns it here than on the streets.
The miracle of bundling. Now that's progressive.
Ross needs an auditor who knows the industry as well as he does. For Brian, it's whether he can call the partner at midnight.
So?
They both came up with the same name, BDO.
Huh.
People who know BDO.
And stepped down as CEO, you tweeted, there has been and always will be one CEO at Oracle. What do you mean by that? How optimistic are you about Mark Hurd and Safra Catz being co-CEOs?
Well, I'm sure Mark and Safra will continue to do a good job just like they have over the last 2 years, but we all know Larry Ellison is a force of nature, and what Larry Ellison wants, Larry Ellison is going to get. So whoever is the CEO is going to have to bend to Larry's desires.
All right. Now, Larry gave you money to start Salesforce.
He did. He was our first investor.
And Salesforce has now become the main competition.
That might be true.
So what did Salesforce do right over the years that Oracle has done wrong?
Well, we really got singularly focused on a vision of the cloud. It's a lot like what Google or Yahoo do, that you can log on to a website, but instead of delivering books or delivering search results or something like that, well, we're delivering business functionality. And we've stayed very focused and dedicated to that idea for 15 years. And because of that singular focus, we've been able to achieve a great success. And there's a message in that around business, which is you have to be dedicated.
And is there another message that Oracle missed the cloud?
Well, Oracle has a different business. And on my way out of Oracle, Jeff Henley, who just retired as the chairman and who was the CFO at the time, took me into his office and said, Mark, you know, it's a good thing you're leaving Oracle. And I said, whoa, Jeff, why is that? He goes, well, you know, it's going to be hard for us to do a brand new technology model and a brand new business model, because everything from the way you deliver the software to the way you recognize the revenue is completely different in cloud computing.
You and Larry Ellison have had a rivalry over the years and more recently a partnership. What's your relationship really like behind the scenes?
Our relationship, Larry and I have a great relationship. I just saw him on Sunday night. We're, you know, it's we're always hugging and kissing.
Frenemies?
Frenemies. We've been, you know, friends for 30 years. And so that's been very exciting. And look, I don't think, you know, I've had some great mentors in my life. People, you know, who I've been thrilled to have, of course, you know, my parents, my grandparents. But also I've had, like you mentioned, Steve Jobs, Colin Powell. Dramatically influenced me in philanthropy and in business. I don't think anyone has influenced me more than Larry Ellison. And I would not be the CEO that I am today. Salesforce would not be the company that it is, not just because of his money, but because of everything that he continues to teach me and that I learn from him.
So big tech companies are splitting up from HP to eBay. Why is that happening? And are we going to see more of it?
Well, I think that there's a lot of different reasons why that is happening. One might be that these companies are just too big. They become so big that they become much unmanageable, and you want to get them to be smaller units. Smaller units are easier to manage. And so in an organization like HP, you know, it's Solomon's baby, and they're going to, you know, they're going to have a one for each, and that's going to be a great strategy for them with two CEOs. I think the same thing is a great strategy for eBay. There's probably a lot of other companies that are going to follow this.
Will Oracle follow? Is Oracle one of those companies?
I think with Oracle, it's hard to do, number one, because the distribution organization is going to be the same no matter what. The most important thing is Oracle's got to innovate at a higher rate. That's what we just have not seen Oracle do in the last decade.
Salesforce has been a big acquirer. How do you continue to buy companies without losing focus, without getting bloated?
Well, number one, acquisitions are hard no matter who you are. And I can tell you firsthand, after doing 25 acquisitions over the last 5 years, acquisitions are hard. But you can transform your company through acquisitions. And the other thing that acquisitions do is they bring all these incredible people into your company. And if you can nurture those people, well, then you can end up with a phenomenal result.
So what do you do from within to overcome the hard part and the challenges when you buy another big company?
The number one thing you've got to do is you've got to be, as the CEO, you've got to choose which one you're going to be in, because it's going to dramatically increase the success of it. I only have so much time.
Right.
So where I spend my time is super important. And I kind of divide my time into four quadrants. And in a certain quadrant, which is my transformation quadrant, that's where I spend the majority of my time. The things that I know that if I don't do them, they're not going to get done. There's going to be other things around operating the business, or maybe nurturing things that are coming 2 to 5 years from now, or maybe things around the efficiency of the business that I don't have to be as involved in. Of course, I still have to be involved at some level, but those transformational things I have to pick and choose carefully, and then I can really deliver a great result.
We hear a lot about Google investing in moonshots, internal products and technologies, the self-driving car, Google Glass. How much time and how many resources do you devote to innovating from within?
For us, innovating within is what it's all about. And when I sit there with our teams, we're really kind of figuring out, and I think Wave is a great example. We wanted to do three things. We wanted to, number one, build a product that would be for everyone in the company, not just analysts, which had never been done in analytics. Number two, that it would run great on these mobile devices. And it's built for this product and this platform. And that is really important to us. And then the third thing is, behind us is a lot of developers and a lot of software CEOs, and they want to build on that platform and build their own companies. And so we built a platform as well. And so by doing great kind of democratization, you know, great consumerization, and then great platform, we're delivering a whole new type of product.
What's Salesforce's strategy to get into China, one of the most crucial markets of the future?
Well, China's a super important market. It's very exciting, and we work closely with our customers there. We also have to work very closely with the government. We have to work with our partners, and all of those things come together to help create something in China.
Now, the NSA revelations, I wonder how those specifically have impacted your business, because you're dealing with so much sensitive data. You've built data centers in Germany, France, the UK. Will you have to have one in every important country?
Oh, yeah, you're going to have one in every important country, but it's not because of that. It's another reason. Because the cloud is going mainstream, every president of every country wants to have their own cloud. I was just in Germany. I was with Angela Merkel. She wants the German cloud. I was with Francois Hollande in France. He wants the French cloud. Abe wants the Japan cloud, you know. Cameron wants the UK cloud. And
you know
what?
You're the cloud maker.
They should have one. They should have their own clouds. I'm all for that. And for every important country in the world, they'll have their own cloud. They'll all interoperate if that's what they want as well, or they can just have their own local version. It's whatever they want.
That's, so how does that work?
That's my job.
How does that work from a security and privacy perspective?
Well, from a security and privacy perspective, you know, we are, you know, using what are the best practices in the industry. But I'm going to tell you something that you already know, and you, every viewer will know, there is no finish line when it comes to security. We are in a very dynamic and difficult situation in cybersecurity, and it doesn't matter what company you are, what executive you are, if you take any position except for that this is a tough environment, you're going to have challenges. So, you know, we take it super seriously, and we're super cautious. And it's going to be a complex environment going forward.
We've spoken about your mentors. How does Mark Benioff want to be remembered?
Can a dress shirt build your brand? At Lands' End Business Outfitters, we help build brands by combining quality clothing, expert embroidery, and legendary service. For 20 years, we've created brand right looks for thousands of businesses just like yours. And when you're wearing your logo, you're building your brand. Customers recognize it. Employees take pride in it. Your image improves with it. Your brand grows with us.
Live the life you want. You've got to keep your eyes open. Because sometimes seeing is believing. Change your worldview with Flexon. Made from an alloy that helped lift NASA into space. And a little flexibility can make all the difference. Radically resistant to bending and breaking. Infused with pure titanium. Visit Flexon.com to learn more. Flexon. Bend the rules.
Place in our lives where we need investment income. That's why we invest in tax-free municipal bonds.
We love the income they provide us, income that's federally tax-free. And at this point in our lives, tax-free income is exactly what we need.
Tax-free municipal bonds can serve as the cornerstone for a conservative portfolio. They offer income that's tax-free. Henning and Walsh is a leading expert in tax-free municipal bonds committed to finding you the best bonds to meet your investment goals. We'll even send you our informative bond guide absolutely free if you call right now. 1-800-895-7895. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, consider municipal bonds. They provide income that's federally tax-free. Take charge of your investments today. Call now to receive your free copy of our informative bond guide. It's free, so call now. 1-800-895-7895. That's 1-800-895-7895.
You have sold tens of millions of shares in the last year. Why?
Well, I've sold a lot of stock over the last 10 years, and I've diversified out of percentage of my stock, but still, I have a very large position in Salesforce. I am either the largest shareholder or one of the very largest shareholders.
So no shareholder should be worried about your confidence in your own company.
As one of the largest shareholders, I've never been more excited about Salesforce.
You created the 1-1-1 model, giving 1% of time, equity, and profits to philanthropy. Why is this the best way for companies to give back?
On day one, we put 1% of our equity, 1% of our profit, and 1% of all of our employees' time into a 501c3 public charity. It was very easy at the time because we had no stock, we had no employees, we had no products. Very easy decision. Now, though, it's paid out. We've, you know, delivered more than 680,000 hours of community service, over $70 million in grants to nonprofits all over the world, including big grants here locally to our public schools and our public hospitals. And this is what I'm most excited about, more than 23,000 nonprofits and NGOs use Salesforce for free. And that's a huge part of our philanthropic focus.
You're San Francisco born and raised. I wonder, obviously the business is so important to you, but why is giving back so important to you?
Because I knew that I would never have real joy and happiness and fulfillment in my life without giving. I had already been through a pretty awesome ride, if you will, at Oracle, 13 years being with Oracle from $50 million in revenue when I joined in 1986 to when I left in 1999, about the size that Oracle is now. I had already seen that trajectory, but what I recognized is that just building a product and just selling that product to a customer is not going to make you happy and fulfilled as an executive. I had seen that across the board. And what I did see, though, is if we could somehow tie and integrate philanthropy into our business, we were going to have not just a great financial result and technical result. I was maybe too confident, you know, in my own ability as a technical leader, but I wanted to have fulfillment, too, and joy in my life, and I knew that I would have to do something philanthropic to achieve that.
The venture capitalist Chamath Palihapitiya criticized your philanthropy efforts as marketing. How do you respond to that? I believe you saw that when that happened.
Well, I think it's just amazing to me, you know, that anybody could say that, because we are so dedicated for a decade and a half to helping other people, and we are so through and through that this is what we are about and what we want to leave behind. At the end of the day, I'm not sure people will ever remember Salesforce. Maybe they won't even remember cloud computing. But I know that they're going to remember all the work that we did in the world while we were a successful business and all the things that we did to give back. And that's what's really important to me.
Inequality protests have broken out right here in San Francisco. Google buses have been attacked. You've become kind of the social conscience of the tech industry, and you've said the tech community has to do more. How satisfied are you with their response?
Well, I am kind of a protester and activist in the technology industry seeking change, so I feel very aligned with these protesters. And I'll tell you what's exciting for me is that it gives me a vehicle to say to companies, give, do more, that if you want to somehow quell these voices, show them that you're not just extracting value from society, but that you're giving value back. You know, our corporate leaders are phenomenal leaders. If they can partner with the mayors, the superintendents, we can do a lot of good. And the more that we can make that happen, the more result we're going to get. And we've seen that in San Francisco, and we're going to prove that out.
But you have been disappointed, haven't you, in terms of the response of some of these companies? I mean, I guess I wonder, why aren't we seeing...
I could give you some examples. Look, I can give you great examples where I'll say to someone, hey, we should do more, and I can see them fully give and go all in. And then I, you know, a very famous CEO with a hot technology company, I'm not going to call him out on your show, talking to him, hey, you know, don't you want to give back? And he wrote me an email and he said, well, what have I been given? And I said, what do you mean? Well, what have I been given? I created all this. I did this. I made this happen. And I was like, you know, I am taken aback by that, honestly, where it's like, okay, well, it's a point of view. And the reality is, look, we're all working together to make this a better place. And if we don't work together, it's not going to happen. And taking that position isn't going to get anyone anywhere.
You're also very active politically. You've hosted multiple fundraisers for President Obama. How satisfied are you with his presidency?
Well, number one, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I actually give money to a lot of different politicians, including the president and also some of his competitors. In the race for the presidency, I'm an American, and I want to advocate for my causes that are important to me, and things like those kind of programs give me the opportunity to get access to them and make my case on why we should do things like philanthropy, why we should increase cybersecurity.
How closely are you keeping your eye on the startup community and what could become the next Salesforce, your next big nemesis?
I spend a lot of time with startups and entrepreneurs. I love startups and entrepreneurs because I think a startup and an entrepreneur. We're just a $5 billion a year startup with 15,000 employees. And I love spending time with them. I only get a limited amount of time. But I will, you know, in my next life, whatever that is, I'd like to spend more time helping entrepreneurs.
What's next for Mark Benioff?
Well, one thing is going to be a lot more philanthropy, a lot more giving. We've built these two great children's hospitals now with Oakland and San Francisco. And then I'd love to spend more time with entrepreneurs as well. Both of those things are highly constrained because I have a day job,
right,
which is running Salesforce. And I really love that. I love my job. I love our industry. I love making all these people behind me happy. That's why they come to Dreamforce.
We've spoken about your mentors. How does Mark Benioff want to be remembered?
Well, I hope that as I mentioned, if I leave anything behind, it's not just cloud computing or CRM or the democratization of enterprise software, but that it's, you know, that the true joy in life comes through giving, and that you can be in business, you can be the CEO, you can have a great company, and that can be one of the greatest vehicles for giving that you'll ever have. So use that platform to give back, and you're going to be not just have great success, but you'll even be happier than you'll even be successful.
Mark Benioff, thank you so much for joining us. This has really been a phenomenal opportunity.
Thanks for coming to Dreamforce,
thank
and
you.
I hope you come back next year.
I will be back for sure.
Is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
The goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups. They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time? Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 Awesome. Awesome.
I love logistics.
From New York,
Bloomberg 1130.
To Boston,
Bloomberg 1200 and 94.5 FM HD2.
And now, San Francisco,
Bloomberg 960 and 103.7 FM HD2.
Across the country,
Sirius XM 119.
And around the world,
the Bloomberg Radio Plus TuneIn and iHeartRadio apps.
On air, online, and on your smartphone, Bloomberg Radio is where you are.
You take all your business calls yourself. Sort of makes it hard to look professional or get anything done. By helping to expertly manage your incoming calls, eVoice provides you with a better way to connect, regardless of whether you're a business of one or 100. We connect all incoming calls to eVoice instead of directly to you. So wherever you are, at home, the office, or on the road, you'll never miss a call. Get started with your 60-day free trial now at eVoice.com. Enter promo code TV60 and get the first 60 days free.
Yeah, girl. You know, I've been thinking about us. And I just can't fight it anymore. It's bundle time. Feel those savings, baby.
And And that's how a home and auto bundle is made. Better he learns it here than on the streets.
The miracle of bundling. Now that's progressive.
Welcome to Money Clip, where we tie together the best stories, interviews, and video in business news. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, here's a rundown today. You ready? We're looking for leadership on Ebola. President Obama actually names a czar to oversee U.S. containment of the disease. We will discuss. In tech, Google misses the mark. After all the technology and innovation, guess what? You still got to sell ads. And what do you get when you put a Republican, a Democrat, and an Independent on one show? Oh, you know, it's called politics, and it's no joke. In sports, the NBA machine rolls into China. Commissioner Adam Silver says this is a new era for global hoops. And then finally, in motors, we go from Tokyo to Osaka. In 67 minutes, meet the future of Japan's transportation. This is the world's fastest train. Try to guess how fast it goes. There's a three handle. That's over 300 miles an hour. All right, first, we're going to look at the top stories today. Shares of Morgan Stanley rising more than 3%. That's after the third quarter earnings almost doubled. And this year's trading revenue rose at the fastest pace on Wall Street. The firm also boosted its target for the wealth management unit's profit margin.
One of the key strategic objectives for Morgan Stanley has been to bring that margin up to a goal of 22 to 25% by the end of 2015. And we actually got that this quarter, a 22% pre-tax margin in that business.
So he did. Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman has been working to boost returns from fixed income trading while at the same time trying to shrink staff. Well, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen is weighing in on the debate over income inequality. Speaking at the Boston Fed conference, Yellen said she is greatly concerned by the trend.
The past few decades of widening inequality can be summed up as significant income and wealth gains for those at the very top, in stagnant living standards for the majority.
Now, by the same token, Yellen did not actually suggest any specific policy prescriptions to deal with the issue, but it's certainly on her plate. Well, in Hong Kong, new scuffles broke out between the riot police and pro-democracy activists. Happened in a district where authorities had cleared the protesters earlier today. Several people were knocked to the ground or carried away by police. Now, these latest scuffles come as protest leaders ask the government to hold promised talks by October 22nd. In Bermuda, you ready for this? Bracing for Hurricane Gonzalo, winds of up to 130 miles an hour could hit the island this afternoon or possibly this evening. Forecasters say that the seas will rise between 35 and 45 feet. That'll cause significant flooding. If you've ever been to Bermuda, it seems like the highest place is 45 feet on that island. Bermuda has closed its schools and international airport. Anyway, those are the top stories for now. All right, let's take a closer look at what everyone's talking about. Some markets, right? The Dow lost more than 5% over five straight trading days. European stocks were in an eight-day losing streak, and then investors wipe away the worries with shares rallying way back. Bets of more stimulus from the Fed and the ECB keeping investors a positive. Yeah, let's get our little sugar in there. I feel a money clip mashup coming on.
The basics in the United States are really quite positive.
The economy is in perfectly fine shape.
Very strong industrial production. Good news in terms of GDP.
If you want to be investing anywhere, it is in the U.S. because of the recovery.
I think it is liquidity, a contraction in that downward spiral that's been driving us. But the good news, I think there are glimmers of hope.
Anyone who has a little bit of a stomach for some short-run volatility is going to come out ahead in the next 6 to 12 months.
Absent some spreading of this wild card factor concerning Ebola, and again, the fear, not the disease. I think the fundamentals are such that we'll move out of this.
We're going to get a good year-end rally in November and December.
I think the fundamentals, at least as far as the U.S. is concerned, will reassert themselves.
I'm still confident we're going to rally through the end of the month and through the end of the year.
I do think we have a very good chance of hitting new highs by year-end.
You tell him, Professor Siegel. And by the way, it's not just stocks. Bond investors from PIMCO to Blackstone are poised and ready to feast on some high-yield fixed income.
Well, the reality is that credit is a buy here, specifically high yield and bank loans. So we have been and will continue to buy into this market.
And that, by the way, was PIMCO's Mark Kiesel, who now runs the world's biggest bond fund. Now that there has been a big sell-off, the world's biggest debt managers, they're ready to spend some money.
Investors have been stockpiling cash over the past couple of months, partly because yields had gotten so low. They reached record lows on junk bonds in June. And people basically said, we don't see the upside here. Why don't we hold back, wait for some kind of dislocation so that they can come in as they are to some degree now.
And make the hero trade, because it looks good, especially if it doesn't go bad.
Well, that's right? A, you know, the
do you want to buy when there's blood on the streets? Wednesday in right. high yield debt, there was blood on the streets.
The
right?
question is, how technical is it and how fundamental is it? And there is a huge technical aspect to the sell-off in high yield. You saw investors pulling money from mutual funds that invest in high yield debt. You saw the biggest Wall Street banks also selling into the sell-off. So it didn't buffer the sell-off in any way. In fact, it contributed to it. So on the other side, there are some fundamental concerns.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because the IMF's Director of Monetary Affairs made a comment on liquidity. He said credit-focused mutual funds have seen massive inflows and have become the largest holders of corporate and foreign bonds. These inflows have created a liquidity illusion, which can amplify shocks and lead to sharper falls in the market. Is that what we saw on Wednesday?
That's a big part of it. I mean, when you have outflows from mutual funds and mutual fund managers are forced to sell, there isn't as much of a buffer because who's on the other side of that? Everyone is sort of in a singularly long position. There aren't many people who are short. And the people who are short are also probably short treasuries, yeah. and they were getting raked under the coals. I mean, they were really having a rough day with yields falling to the lowest since June 2013.
All right, so you got bonds and stocks rebounding. Guess what? So is oil. Crude back above $80 a barrel, way above after sliding to the lowest in more than 3 years. All right, President Obama is listening to the critics, and he appoints an Ebola czar. The task ahead next on Money Clip. And then later, your chance to own a little piece of history. We're talking about an original Apple computer going back to 1976. It's going on auction, and believe it or not, that thing actually works. And Argentina getting ready to go into the space race. The country just launched its first domestically built communication satellite. This was from a launch site in French Guiana. It's going to provide digital TV and mobile phone service to Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. Did I say that right?
I took my first handful of pills and that's when all my priorities seemed to change.
He would ask to use the bathroom in other people's homes.
He just assumed that they would have medication.
He'd go in their medicine cabinets and steal prescription drugs.
I wish I knew really what these prescription pills were.
We were so naive about the whole drug thing.
These are all synthetic forms of heroin.
Keep your medication locked up because you'll never notice that a pill is gone.
Mind your meds. Learn more from the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids.
Perceptions change and evolve. In a recent Bloomberg Audience Insights report, more and more IT decision makers evaluated Android as a secure platform for large-scale business operations. In the survey, 72% of IT decision makers said they had deployed an Android device as part of a bring-your-own-device initiative. Among them, more than 9 in 10 had deployed an Android device from Samsung. One reason they trust Samsung Android devices is the Knox security platform. 79% believe Knox is extremely or very useful for application security, with 78% mirroring that sentiment for malware protection. Samsung is in the unique position to offer security that is deeply rooted in hardware and constantly moves forward to help business realize the full potential of mobility.
When folks think about what they get from Alaska, they think salmon and energy. But the energy BP produces up here creates something else as well. Jobs all over America. Engineering and innovation jobs, advanced safety systems and technology, shipping and manufacturing. Across the United States, BP supports more than 250,000 jobs. When we set up operation in one part of the country, people in other parts go to work. That's not a coincidence. It's one more part of our commitment to America.
We all think about life insurance, but when we start worrying about tomorrow, we miss out on the things that matter today. At AXA, we offer advice and help you break down your insurance goals into small, manageable steps. Because when you plan for tomorrow, it helps you live for today. Can we help you take a small step? For advice, retirement, and life insurance, connect with AXA.
Sailing through the heart of cities and landscapes with Viking, you'll see things differently. You'll get closer to iconic landmarks, to local life and cultural treasures. It's a feeling that only a river can give you, that only Viking can give you. Spend less time getting there and more time being there. Viking River Cruises, exploring the world in comfort.
President Obama has canceled a planned speech in Rhode Island and a political fundraiser in New York. He's staying in Washington. This was yesterday in order to meet with officials about Ebola. People have called on him to name a czar, and here is his response.
An additional person, not because the three of these folks have not been doing an outstanding job. I should mention them, Susan Rice, my national security advisor. It's not that they haven't been doing an outstanding job really working hard on this issue. But they also are responsible for a whole bunch of other stuff.
Well, the president did name a czar. Bloomberg's chief Washington correspondent Peter Cook actually has those details.
Ron Klain is someone well known to this White House, Matt. He's been a senior advisor to the president as well. As you mentioned, he served Al Gore and Vice President Biden. He's a Democratic insider, a lawyer. He's been working most recently with Steve Case over at his Case Holdings company. But this is someone, again, very familiar to the White House, known for his organizational skills. He was talked about potentially as being a chief of staff to President Obama back a few years ago. So someone very familiar with the president, someone who can come in the hope is, obviously, to try and get things nailed down in terms of the organizational structure, responding to this crisis, and giving the American people a better sense that this administration is in charge and in command of this situation, something that, as we saw in that hearing yesterday up on Capitol Hill, Matt, at least Republicans on Capitol Hill have real questions about.
Well, the czar will oversee the people who testified, as Peter was just discussing, on Capitol Hill yesterday, or shall I say the people who were grilled, and rightfully so, yesterday on Capitol Hill. They had to answer some pretty tough questions about how to contain the Ebola virus here at home after two nurses in Texas contracted the disease, and then one of them actually traveled. It's amazing. Here's the head of the CDC, his opening statement before the panel in under 60 seconds.
We know how to control Ebola, but there are no shortcuts in the control of Ebola, and it is not easy. To protect the United States, we have to stop it at the source. One of the things I fear about Ebola is that it could spread more widely in Africa. If this were to happen, it could become a threat to our health system. We have helped each of the affected countries establish exit screening. Recently, we've added another level of screening people on arrival to the U.S. We've also increased awareness among physicians throughout the U.S. We've established laboratory services throughout the country so that not all laboratory tests have to come to the specialized laboratory at CDC. We're always open to data because our bottom line is using the most accurate data and information to inform our actions and protect health.
Well, the U.S. military arrived in Liberia, one of the worst infected countries, to provide logistical support to the Liberian Armed Forces. They're constructing a 100-bed Ebola treatment unit. Now, they're hoping that this will be completed by early December. A man who knows all about those kinds of missions, Admiral James Stavridis, who served as NATO's supreme commander, leading 120,000 troops from 51 nations. Here he is this morning with us on surveillance.
Well, first and foremost, we need to realize we're not going to cure our way out of this. We're going to isolate our way out of this. That means logistics. It means, as you said, Adam, moving the material. I think we need to centralize control of this thing. I think we need a czar.
We need a czar?
I think so.
Does that matter, then, if China doesn't appoint a Ebola czar, other countries don't do the same? I mean, we can contain, we can isolate, but if we do it in isolation, it's not very effective, is it?
Well, this is going to be a global geopolitical trend that requires isolation of villages, of countries, potentially of regions. This is going to be a big challenge. So whether other countries have czars or not, we're going to be forced to work together in a global sense.
And this is our mission to lead?
I think it is.
Now, while the U.S. has given more than $350 million to fight Ebola, this is internationally, here at home, we're using the old-fashioned method of isolation. A health worker from the Dallas hospital voluntarily entered an isolation unit on a cruise ship. And while the worker didn't have direct contact with the deceased Ebola patient, as is in good health as well, we should point out the person may actually have touched some clinical samples of his blood. This is according to the U.S. Department of State. And Nina Pham, the first Dallas nurse who contracted Ebola, is also in an isolation unit. This is at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. She was moved there yesterday.
This is a huge effort by all of you guys. Yeah, we're really proud of you. All right. Party now. Okay. You need anything?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. There's no crying. Well, happy tears are okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no tears. Okay. It's not loud.
Would you so proud of me? Oh, because you couldn't have tears after
you. I love you guys.
I love you.
Boy, that is intense. An official at the National Institute of Health says that Pham is doing, quote, quite well. There are five nurses per shift treating that 26-year-old. All right, we're going to talk politics later right here on Money Clip. But we've got the left, the right, and the independent. Sounds like election season to me. And in tech, Google earnings, oh, in case you didn't know, they disappoint. Is the search giant's growing list of side businesses the key to its future growth now that the ad business is slowing down? And by the way, one of the most popular stories on Bloomberg.com today is immigration reform dead? Republican Senator John McCain essentially acknowledged that his party has demolished any chance of that happening soon. You can read about this and other stories. Just go to Bloomberg.com/popular. We'll be right back.
Around the world, Bloomberg keeps you connected on television, online, on the radio, and on mobile.
Introducing Synchrony Financial, bringing new meaning to the word partnership. Banking, loyalty, analytics. Synchrony Financial. Engage with us.
You, my friend, are a master of diversification. Who would have thought three cheese lasagna would go with chocolate cake and ceviche? The same guy who thought that small caps and bond funds would go with emerging markets. It's a masterpiece.
Thanks.
Clearly you are type E. You made it, Phil. Welcome home. Now, what's our strategy with the fondue?
Diversifying your portfolio? E-Trade gives you the tools and resources to get it right. Are you type E?
Now through Sunday at Joseph A. Bank. Buy one, get one free. And right now, buy a second, get two more free. An incredible selection of dress shirts, ties, sports shirts, pants, and sweaters. Just in time to build a new fall wardrobe. Mix and match. Dress shirts, ties, sports shirts, pants, and sweaters. Buy one, get one free. And buy a second, get two more free. Now through Sunday, only at Joseph A. Bank.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm on it. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You're covered, Kevin.
Thanks, Melinda.
I have blah blah insurance, so person, come help.
Hey, Grandma. Now look who it is.
I see who it is.
Six callers ahead of us, Jimmy.
You're not helping.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. There to help you anytime, anywhere, any way. That's getting to a better state.
Today's Bloomberg ticker is brought to you by Invesco. Explore intentional investing with Invesco. Start with your financial advisor.
I'm only in my 60s. I've got a nice long life ahead. Big plans. So when I found out Medicare doesn't pay all my medical expenses, I got a Medicare supplement insurance plan.
If you're eligible for Medicare, you may know it only covers about 80% of your Part B medical expenses. The rest is up to you. Call now and find out about an AARP Medicare Supplement Insurance Plan insured by United Healthcare Insurance Company. Like all standardized Medicare Supplement Insurance Plans, it could save you in out-of-pocket medical costs. Call now to request your free decision guide.
I've been with my doctor for 12 years. Now I know I'll be able to stick with them.
you'll be able to visit any doctor or hospital that accepts Medicare patients. Plus, there are no networks and virtually no referrals needed. See why millions of people have already enrolled in the only Medicare supplement insurance plans endorsed by AARP. Don't wait. Call now.
This is Money Clip on Bloomberg Television, and we are streaming live. We're everywhere. Come on, we're on your Windows device as well. I'm Adam Johnson. All right, in tech today, disappointing results, yeah, I'll say it, from Google. The company spent a lot of money on hiring and building data centers last quarter, and it reported slightly lower than expected growth in the number of clicks on paid ads. Mashable senior tech analyst Christina Warren joined us this morning on surveillance. Here's her take.
Paid clicks were up 17%, but that growth is actually decelerating. So that's what's problematic, is not only are the cost per clicks going down, but the growth is actually decelerating as well.
I use Google less on my mobile phone. Is that what this is all about, is I'm less on my desktop?
Yes.
That's where I did Dogpile. That's where I did Google.
That's a big part of it, is that you know, Google is, mobile search is going up, and they keep saying that those clicks are going up, but they really haven't conquered mobile search
exactly.
The same way.
What's the sweat factor in Google right now? What's the level of panic?
I mean, you know, they've got to start looking at these other businesses. I think that's why they're investing so much in R&D.
Yeah, but what's the actual panic? Because these guys walk around like, we're not evil, happy. Where's my golf stream?
In terms of panic, Brian Beezer at Pivotal Research said that during this calendar year, Google should account for more than 50% of all internet-related advertising outside of China. It already captures more than 10% of all global advertising, so it has a dominant position.
But is that the problem, sure. Christina? Is it too big? Like, how do you go from here?
That is sort of the problem. They are really big, and they captured the world in the PC era, you know, the desktop era, but with mobile, so many things are moving to other devices. You know, Facebook is a really big ad player in mobile, and then you've got things like, you know, Alibaba and Baidu in China really, really ramping up, and Google doesn't have any part of those businesses.
So we also talked to Christina about the launch of Apple Pay, or what I like to call iWallet. She calls it a BFD.
It's a BFD because it's finally doing what all of these payment companies, banks, and retailers have been promising us for the last decade, which is it's going to be bringing contactless payments to the United States on a wide-scale level. So I was on the phone with MasterCard yesterday, and they were telling me that before the Apple Pay announcement, they already had about 80% of all the various cardholders, all the various banks on board, and that was under NDA. Since Apple Pay was announced, an additional 500 banks have signed on, and that's just with MasterCard. So you're going to have a huge number of retailers, Staples, Starbucks, Uber even, Target, Whole Foods, the Apple Store, obviously, all on board with this at launch on Monday, the 20th. And then you're going to have this huge 20 million, we think, device penetration already of these devices. And you finally have all the big banks, all the big credit card companies on board. And that's finally bringing this all together. And that's what we've needed.
So what does this mean for Android-powered devices?
Well, it's a good thing because what's actually happened is that, when you're upgrading your point-of-sale terminal systems, they have NFC built in. So there's no reason that Android systems can't use them, too. It does become more complex depending on the carrier, depending on kind of the different standard they're using for what's called the secure element. But that doesn't mean that Android has to be, downtrodden. But it does give Apple a huge advantage because they've got it all
there. I want you to translate this for a fossil like me.
Sure.
I used to carry cash. I don't carry cash anymore.
Yes.
I write like 2 checks a month, like these paper things. My kid goes, what are those? What is Apple Pay going to replace? Am I still going to have plastic in my wallet?
No, you're not going to have plastic in your wallet. What makes Apple Pay really unique and I think is similar to some of the other NFC solutions, but they're doing it right the first time, is that it's actually a true chip and pin replacement for your credit card. So what's actually happening is that your card is actually being directly connected. It's not just a copy of your card. It's its own entity.
My phone ran out of batteries in the cab yesterday.
Yeah. That will be the risk.
That is the risk. But guess what? Your new Plus that you're going to get this weekend takes
care
of that.
Your new Plus is going to have a huge battery.
The Manly 6 Plus?
Yeah, come on, you can handle it. Yes, you can. All right, another key part of Apple's plan to own the upcoming holiday season, this array of updated products. Oh, they've been launched all week long, from new iPads to updated software. It was all demoed at a very highly produced event at the company's headquarters. But not everything went according to plan.
Now, I want to add a text slide. Let me show you how easy it is. How about Utah road trip? Just as easy. I can add captions, trim videos, or reorder things. The result, again, is instant.
Oh, yeah. That's instant. Autocorrect strikes again. That's a Utah road trip. All right. Let's take a look at that guy's reaction in slow-mo. He's not happy with himself or the machine. Oh, I'm sorry. A little embarrassing fail there for Apple, but look, it's come pretty far since the Steve Jobs starting in his parents' garage. And if you are an Apple super fan, you now have a chance to own a piece of that little history. An original Apple I built by Mr. Wozniak, Steve's original partner, goes back to 1976. It's being auctioned off this month at Bonhams. Pim Fox actually got to see this machine that still works. He saw it up close. He even tested it. Sat down with the auction house senior specialist, Cassandra Hatton.
And this is one of the first batch that they took to the bite shop. So if you look at the underside of the board, there's a mark, there's a number and security pin. We don't know what the sequence is to the numbers, but we know that they're numbers that they only put on the ones from the bite shop. So it's really exciting to have one of the first ones. And there are only 63 the last time I checked, which includes this machine. Now, in the past 14 years, there have only been 15 that have been shown to be fully operational. So this is one of those.
This is fully operational,
yes,
as we see.
Yes, it's fully operational. So you can see on the screen that it's, you know, running. So it's really amazing. I mean, it's an artifact from the computer age, and it's really a testament to, you know, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs' kind of genius and, like, the American ingenuity and, you know, the American dream. It's just two guys who were, you know, had an idea and they were doing something for their friends and just went with it.
All right, this thing goes on auction. October 22nd could fetch $500,000. And still ahead, is the NBA looking for world domination? We'll tell you what the league's commissioner is doing over in China. That's ahead in sports. And all aboard the future of London's underground, we will take you inside the new tube trains that will one day be driverless.
I can reach Ally Bank 24/7, but there are no branches.
24/7.
It's just I'm a little reluctant to try new things.
What's wrong with trying new things?
You feel that in your muscles?
I do.
Try a new way to bank, where no branches equals great rates.
To live the life you want, you've got to keep your eyes open. Because sometimes seeing is believing. Change your worldview with Flexon. Made from an alloy that helped lift NASA into space. And a little flexibility can make all the difference. Radically resistant to bending and breaking. Infused with pure titanium. Visit Flexon.com to learn more. Flexon. Bend the rules.
TA25 from the Tel Aviv Stock Exchange, powering the Israeli economy. Find more information at www.ta25.co.il.
Gunderman Group.
Gunderman Group is growing.
Getting in a groove.
Growth is gratifying.
Goal is to grow.
Gotta get greater growth.
I just talked to UPS. They've got expert advice, special discounts, new technologies, like smart pickups.
They'll only show up when you print a label, and it's automatic. We save time and money.
Time? Money?
Time and money.
Awesome.
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 I love logistics.
Ally Bank really has no hidden fees on savings accounts.
That's right.
It's just that I'm worried about, you know, hidden things.
Okay, why's that?
No hidden fees from the bank where no branches equals great rates.
I am so glad that Jen set us up.
Yeah.
So how do you guys know each other?
Jen and I went to summer camp together.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Oh, whoa.
I know,
watch
right?
out. What's Maccabi?
Oh, man. I am tired.
You know, I never lost a Maccabi.
Color Wars?
You know what that is?
Yeah, we call it Macavia too.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink?
Yes. Do you want to meet my parents?
Just tell us your budget and the Name Your Price tool helps you find a whole range of coverages. No one else gives you options like that.
No one at all.
No one at all.
No one.
Wake up.
Oh. You okay, buddy?
I just had a dream that Progressive had this thing called...
Your budget and the Name Your Price tool helps you find a whole...
It isn't a dream, is it?
Nope.
Sorry.
You know that thing freaks me out.
He can hear you. He didn't mean that, Kevin.